It is in the love and the wisdom of God that He has chosen not to tell us many things in life. One of those aspects of life He does not reveal. Those things that are going to take place in the future of our life that are difficult, trials, hardships, tribulations, persecution, whatever it might be, He has chosen not to tell us ahead of time about these things. Now, once in a while, He may give us some signal in our life about something that is going to take place. But most of the time, He doesn't. This is why it is so very important that you and I are continually growing in our Christian life so that whenever these things take place in our life, we'll be ready for them. The person who gets saved and says, well, that's good enough in life for me at this point, and I'm just going to drift now. What they don't realize is this. There are those experiences in life that are beyond our control, beyond our strength to endure, and if we don't know the key to that endurance, we will tumble and fall sooner or later. And so it is so very, very essential that you and I continually grow in our Christian life. Now, people face difficulties and circumstances like these in all kinds of ways. For example, there are some people who face difficulty and hardship, and the end result is they lose their faith. They become angry, hostile, sometimes angry toward God, begin to be cynical about life, grow old, isolate themselves, and die in a cynical attitude. On the other hand, here's someone else who can go through the same circumstance in life and hear the end results. They are richer in their understanding of the ways of God. They are stronger in their faith in the power of God. And they're overwhelmed in their heart by the love of God. Now, what is the difference in the way these two people respond? Here's the difference. One of them knows the source of their strength, and the other one does not. And that is the title of this message today, The Source of Our Strength. And I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture written by a man who understood so very, very well what it meant to be pushed to the limits of his strength and how to go beyond our human limits and endure and survive and triumph over the most difficult circumstances in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, understanding what it meant to be pushed to the limits of his life, here's what he said. He doesn't tell us exactly the incident that took place, all the details. He's writing to the Corinthians just to remind them of the kind of hurt and suffering and trial and hardship that he had been suffering. And he says in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, He on whom we've set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many." Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't a man who was a stranger to difficulty, hardship, and trial, but a man who was very, very aware, knowledgeable, and knew not only what it felt like, but who learned how to respond to the most difficult and trying of circumstances. So I simply want to begin by saying that there are circumstances in life that require strength beyond what we have humanly. There are those circumstances in life that require strength beyond what you and I have humanly. Now, let's look at the Apostle Paul for a moment. And I want you to notice in this passage, though he doesn't tell us exactly when this took place or where or the particular incident, it could have been the riot in Ephesus or some other incident. I want you to notice the words he uses to describe this for this reason. It may be that you're one of those persons who's going through one of those trials and you say, but wait a minute, don't tell me about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul lived about 2,000 years ago, and he didn't live in our society, and he doesn't know what I'm facing, and how could he have a solution to me 2,000 years later? Well, I want you to listen to these words, because even though the Apostle Paul did not experience exactly what you're experiencing in some ways, In many ways he did, but the end result and the effect upon him was indeed the same. Now listen to these words that he uses. He says, if you'll notice in verse 8, he says, brethren, of our affliction, which means a crushing pressure. This wasn't a bad cold of the flu or somebody hurt his feelings. He was in a situation where he was feeling crushed by the pressure of this circumstance. He says, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively. Burdened excessively means he was weighed down beyond his capacity, he thought. It was used in terms of a slow sinking ship, a ship that was gradually sinking. He said, that's what I felt. We were so burdened excessively, we were just sinking under it. He says, beyond our strength. That is, when he examined his own limitations and looked to see what was happening to him, he said, this is going beyond my endurance, beyond my strength. He says, beyond our strength, to the fact that he says, we even despaired of life. And what he's saying there is this. From the looks of things, where he was at the moment, the sentence of death had already been passed upon him. He was expecting to die in this particular situation. So whatever yours may be, let's think about Paul for a moment. Well, go over to the fourth chapter of this same book, fourth chapter, and notice again here he's thinking in terms of things he has been through, circumstances, and notice what he says here, and then the limitations on it. He says in verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, that is, feeling the pressure, the crushing pressure in every way. But he says, but we are not crushed. He says, we're perplexed, that is, we're confused at times, bewildered and puzzled, but we're not despairing, that is, we don't just give up and quit. Persecuted, he says, but not forsaken, and struck down, but not destroyed. Paul says, I understand those things. Go to the 11th chapter, and I won't read all of this because we've referred to it a number of times. The 11th chapter, you recall, in verse 23 and through verses 28, this is where Paul talks about his imprisonments, his beatings, the times that he was stoned, shipwrecked, in journeys, he says, in dangers by robbers, countrymen. He says also, there is the weight of the churches upon him, and oftentimes he was without food and thirsty and cold. And he says the external dangers that he had to face, plus the burden of all the churches. So when you look at the Apostle Paul, think about it in terms of this. Physically, this man endured awesome tests and trials in his life. Beatings, shipwreck, without food, without water. Oftentimes in the cold, many times his life was threatened. They tried their best to kill him. And the terrible conflict that went on in his life constantly with people, for example. In the Corinthian church here, he had a difficult time with these Corinthians. The epistle of the Galatians, the Judaizers coming in, trying to put people back into bondage. Paul would go around preaching the gospel, all these travels, difficulties of travels in those days. Establish a church, teach the gospel. The next time he came around, people who believed in false doctrine and teaching all kind of errors and they're disturbing the churches, Paul would come back, try to straighten them out with the truth. They'd get angry at Paul, want to throw him out. And so he was in constant danger, constant turmoil, constant conflict with relationships, with people, with things, all the time going on. Here is a man who experienced every single facet of difficulty, trial and hardship that you and I could possibly think of or experience ourselves. So we're not talking about a man who relaxed on the beach in the Mediterranean and just prayed and talked to God. Here was a man out there who was carrying out the work that God had called him to do, but he was in a constant season of conflict. Now, I say all that to say this, that sometimes when we pick up the word, we say, well, but you know, that was 2,000 years ago and things have changed. Let me tell you what has not changed. Sin hadn't changed. The devil hasn't changed. Temptation hasn't changed. Hardships, trials, suffering, difficulty, attacks, none of that's changed. It's just a different day in which it is going on. And so the Apostle Paul knew what he was speaking of here. And all of us face those circumstances in which we feel we are pushed to the limits and we have to go beyond our human energy and strength, whether it is intellectual, moral, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it might be. So as you think about it in your own life, let's look at it this way. You may be one of those persons who says, you know, I have been so wronged and so wronged by the same person for so long, I don't have the strength, I don't have the power to keep on forgiving someone who keeps on wronging me. Or you may be one of those persons who is in a working environment that is so anti-God and anti-Christian, you just think, I can't keep hanging in here in this kind of atmosphere, trying to be what I ought to be, doing what I ought to be. I just don't have the strength to live in this kind of environment day after day on my job under constant criticism because I believe the Bible, believe God, go to church and try to live a Christian life. Or you may be in the kind of environment or atmosphere in which the temptation is so strong, so prevailing, so overwhelming, you just think, I just don't have the strength to endure this. Or you may be a student. And you say, you know, I don't know how long I can handle sitting in a classroom and having some professor bombard me with the philosophy of the world, which is absolutely, totally antagonistic to every single thing I believe and everything I stand for. Or you could even be a seminary student sitting in the seminary class, having your faith in the inerrancy of the Word of God chipped away at day after day, and you're wondering, how long can I stand this? Am I going to lose my faith? Am I going to begin to question whether the Word of God is full of error or not? And so you ask yourself the question, do I have the strength to hang in here in this kind of situation? Or maybe you live in a home where you are constantly being derided, constantly being criticized, the tension and the contention that goes on and the criticism, you just think, hey, I don't look that I can handle this. I'm going to check out. I'm going to walk away. I just don't have the strength to keep doing this. Or you may live in a situation where you are being abused, either physically or verbally or sexually or whatever it may be, and you think, hey, I don't have the strength to deal with this. I can't handle this. What shall I do? Or you may be facing some circumstance that just demands endurance. There seems to be no way out, and you don't have any way of escape. And that's what Paul said in this passage when he talked about being burdened down, even to despair. There seems to be no way out. You say, I don't seem to have the strength to just keep on enduring these kind of things, this sense of rejection and the anger or the hostility that you feel towards someone or towards some group of people. I just don't have the strength to do it. Well, I think all of us can understand that there are times when we face those kind of situations. But what we have to ask is this. Would God allow us or place us in a situation in which we absolutely cannot endure? And I'm not saying that a person should stay in every single solitary situation, especially if a person is being physically abused to the point of danger and the destruction of their life. That's something entirely different. But the difficulties and hardships and people's criticism or the contention, the things that go on, should we just check out and run and leave because we don't have the strength to do it? Or is there a solution? Is there an answer? The Apostle Paul could have said, hey, God, you called me to preach. You struck me down on the Damascus Road. You gave me an absolutely unquestionable call to preach the gospel of the Gentiles. And now look, everywhere I go, the Judaizers are there. When I get there to persecute me, if I beat them there, they are there soon thereafter. Everywhere I turn, there is conflict. There is war going on. I'm in constant danger continually. God, if you want me to preach the gospel either, you correct this mess or I'm checking out. Lord, what about lifting the load? What about just giving me a break, will you? Have you ever told God that? Give me a break. I mean, just lift the pressure. Do something. When I read the book of Acts, which is the account, so much of it is of the life of the Apostle Paul, you know what I discover? At no point did God say to him, well, Paul, you've had enough. Now I'm going to give you about 6 months of just pure rest. You just take it easy for 6 months and just forget this whole crowd. He never did. And there are many people who live in situations, work in situations, have to dwell in circumstances that there seems to be no way out, and it is crushing pressure, and it is there constantly. It may be physical pain that they experience because of some illness, or as we said, in their job, in their home, or whatever it might be. Is there a strength genuinely, practically available, or is this just some religious talk? Is this just something that God's promised but isn't practical? If it isn't real, then we shouldn't be talking about it. And so the Apostle Paul, in this passage, gives us a solution. He says, I was pushed not just to my limit, but beyond my limit. He said, I had nothing left in absolute, total despairing, knowing that death was imminent. Now, there are many people who live in those circumstances every day. And how do they survive? God's people, how do they survive? Well, when you look at this passage of Scripture, you have to also conclude this. And that is that the strength required, listen, the strength required to enable us to endure those circumstances beyond our human power, and strength is available in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that may be a simplified statement, that the power, the energy required to enable us to face these things triumphantly and victoriously is to be found in Christ. But it is. It is to be found in Him. And the Apostle Paul understood that. He understood that well. That's why he says in this passage here, he says, indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now listen carefully. Here is a basic foundational principle for teaching us how to walk in the most difficult, trying circumstance of life. And even though there may be dips and moments of discouragement, or periods of wondering, God, where are you? There is a solution. There is a way. It is God's way. It is the best way. And it is the only way to survive and endure triumphantly, victoriously, without losing our peace and losing our joy. And the Apostle Paul tells us what it is. He understood it. Now, did he understand it at first? I don't think he did. I think he had to learn it just the way you and I have to learn it. We have a tremendous example in the Apostle Paul to go before us to explain it to us and to demonstrate it in his life. But how do we face those things on our job and in our home and in our relationships with people that seemingly are beyond our control? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, when he says beyond our strength, and he talks about the strength of God, what is this strength that he's speaking of? When Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What kind of strength is this? Well, there is a certain amount of human strength, morally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Leave out the spiritual for a moment, that everybody has. There's a certain amount of strength that people have. Then there is a strength beyond that which is human. That is, human nature only goes so far. But there is a supernatural, divine energy that expresses itself intellectually, morally, physically, spiritually, in the life of the believer, and it expresses itself at the point and the moment in time that it is needed. That is, the expression of that divine supernatural strength is an expression of strength that makes it possible for us to meet and to face and to overcome and to be triumphant and victorious in what we are facing at that moment. It doesn't make any difference what it is. And that is the strength that the Apostle Paul experienced over and over and over again. It is the strength that is available to every single child of God. And so when Paul said here that he discovered in this process, when the very sentence of death was upon him, that he was delivered by it. And he says he was delivered by the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, one of the challenges we have as Christians is being able to take an incident 2,000 years old and what we can't put our finger on and apply it in our life today. But here is a very basic, profound, absolutely essential principle to life if we're going to face those things that we can't handle ourselves. And the Apostle Paul knew what it was. Here's what he's saying. He says, the source of our strength is in the person of Jesus Christ. What did he mean by that? Simply this, that when you and I received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to live on the inside of us in our spirit, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside every single believer. And what is He doing? Living out through us the life of Christ. Now, who Jesus Christ was is who He is today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did in those days, He's doing today. And the same power and strength that prevailed in His life in those days still prevails in Him today, and He's living on the inside of us. So that, listen, all the strength and all the power to endure, survive, and keep our joy and keep our peace is not only available to us today, it is already abiding in us in the very presence of Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't have to send down from heaven something to enable me to face anything. It is already my possession and your possession. Now, He was very, very intent in His disciples understanding that He never intended to leave them alone. He understood their weaknesses and their frailties. He said, one of you is going to betray me. And He said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me. He says, Lord, I'm not, yes, you are. You're going to deny me. And of course he did. He said, all of you are going to run from me and flee from me. You're going to leave me. He says, but I'm not going to leave you, John 14. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He says, but what I'm going to do, knowing that I'm leaving you, he says, I'm going to send one just like me, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you, with you, and upon you. And he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. In that day, he says, you shall know that I'm in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Now listen, 14, 15, 16 chapters of John, referring to him almost constantly. Three of the most precious chapters in the Bible. What was he doing to those disciples? Encouraging them of his presence and of his power in their life after he was gone. He was going to be crucified the next day. He was going to ascend to the Father. And humanly speaking, they would not see him anymore. But he wanted them to know, I'm not going to leave you. I know that you're weak. I know that you're frail. I know that you're going to face circumstances and situations beyond your human capacity. You will not be able to survive them victoriously unless there is a supernatural power abiding in you, and that is going to come through my life, which will come through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So God has indwelt in every single believer enough strength and enough power that you and I can face every single circumstance of life, no matter what it is. Now listen to what Paul said. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul made a statement that all of us have quoted many times. He said, here's what I've learned. He said, by this principle that I want to show you, he said, I've learned that I can do all things. Listen to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say I can do anything and all things and everything. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did Paul always know that? No. You know how Paul learned that lesson? He learned it the same way you and I have to learn it. And the way we learn that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us is to get thrown into those impossible situations where we feel the crushing pressure and the absolute total inability and totally incapacitated to change our circumstances and learn. Learn the lesson that when our limits have been exhausted, we can go beyond our limits because of a strength and supernatural divine power given to and available to every single believer. We learn it by getting thrown into it. We learn it only in that way, because if you only listen to it from someone else or read it in a book, you will never know and have a conviction about the adequacy of Christ in your life until you have to experience that. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing exactly what was happening, and as he looked at his own life, and shared how God had worked in his life, what is he saying? He's saying, there is a power, there is a strength. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, once in a while, somebody will misinterpret that passage. There is a limitation on what you and I can do. That limitation is clearly defined in that passage when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does the strength come from? It comes from the person of Christ, our relationship with him. What is the limitation? Here's the limitation. God is not going to strengthen you and me to do anything that is not the will of the Father. So he's not going to empower us and strengthen us to do something it's not his will to do. And so what does he do? Whatever God calls you to do, if it's in your occupation, if he's called you to a certain occupation and a certain type of work, that may be very difficult. If he's placed you there, he is going to enable you, strengthen you, and equip you to do every single thing required of you. God will enable you to do it. Now listen carefully. That's why running out on a difficult situation is never, never, never legitimate for the child of God. It is a confession to the world that our Savior is inadequate. Now let me qualify that by saying, I would never say that a person who's living in a situation where their life has been threatened by someone because of some kind of horrible physical abuse, that is a situation that is an exception. There may have to be an exception there. But I'm talking about difficulty, hardships, trials, tribulations. We don't like the way folks treat us. We don't like the way things happen. And sometimes here's a person, for example, in a job, and you've been working there a long time for the same company, and you get passed over in raise and promotion, and the job is given to someone else over here who's far less qualified, does not make as much money as you do, hasn't been there as long as you've been there, and they just pass over you, and you say, well, why should I hang in here? How do I have the strength and the power to be just as enthusiastic about my job when I am so ill-treated? That is the kind of situation you don't run out on because you've been ill-treated. And I say the same thing about families. Difficulties and hardships come in every family. That is no reason to walk away because there's always going to be hardship. Things are never going to be perfect in situations and circumstances. And kids leave home and husbands walk away and wives walk away because things don't suit them. Listen. If God did not strengthen us and empower us, listen, if the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't deal with where I have to live in a practical way, there's something wrong with the book. Shut the thing up and walk out. But it is the adequacy and the sufficiency of the person of Jesus Christ to endure hardship and to face difficulty and hardship and trials and criticism and rejection and all the rest. This is the living Christ. He's not a dead Savior in a tomb somewhere. We have a living Christ, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, adequate and sufficient 2,000 years ago, is the same adequate living Christ that is available to you and me to face any trial, situation, difficulty, hardship, persecution, and keep moving in our progress and in our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. He said, the sentence of death was upon us. He said, we were at the point of despair beyond our strength. He said, even of life itself. When Paul went to Corinth, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to what he said when he was talking about how he came to them to preach. He said, now when I came to you, brethren, he said, I didn't come with superiority of speech or wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I am the Apostle Paul. He didn't come to them like that. He said, I came to you, listen to this, I came to you, first of all, I only had one message, the crucifixion, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power. He says, I was with you. Now listen to this. This man knew God as no other man has known him, except the Lord Jesus himself. Here's a man who knew God in the most intimate way, who understood the ways of God, who could speak the truth with great authority. Listen to what he said. He said in verse 3, I was with you in weakness, fear, and trembling. You think he would have come with confidence, boldness, and assurance. He says, I came to you in weakness, fear, and trembling. My message was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And you know, people sometimes think that a pastor, your pastor, or myself, that just because we've been preaching 30 or 40 years, that we can just walk out here or walk out, and your pastor walk out on a Sunday morning, and he's got everything under control, he's experienced, he's eloquent, he's this, he's that, and he doesn't have to worry about a thing. I'm telling you, if he doesn't, he isn't worth listening to. Fear, weakness, and trembling is the key to everything. And Paul knew that. Here was a man who knew the truth. Here was a man who was confident, tested, listen, tested, tried, persuaded, convicted. I mean, there was an irrevocable, unchangeable conviction about this man. And yet he says, I came to you to speak with fear. He says, in weakness and in trembling in the presence of God. Not afraid of them, but relying upon God and acknowledging His absolute total dependence upon God. Here is the key to what Paul is speaking of here in this 2 Corinthian passage. When he says to the point of despair, he says, I was to the point of despair, knowing the sentence of death was absolutely upon me. He said, I knew there was no way. Now listen, here's what I want us to see. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians 12, and I want us to notice a conflict, what appears to be a conflict here. You recall that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, be strong in the Lord. He told Timothy, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, it looks like a contradiction. On the one hand, he's saying, be strong in the Lord. On the other hand, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at that. He says in verse 5, on behalf of such a man, speaking of himself, will I boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. He says, you want to know what I want to boast of? He says, I boast about my weaknesses. Look in verse 9.
He said he discovered that God's grace is sufficient to him. And he said again in verse 9, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And verse 10, he says, "When I'm weak, I'm strong." Now, what kind of double talk is that? I mean, wait a minute, Paul. On the one hand, you're commanding, be strong in the Lord. On the other hand, you're saying, but I love to be weak. That doesn't even make any sense. Until you understand, here's what Paul is saying. Paul says, here's what I've discovered. It's the most amazing thing. He said, I have discovered that when I am weak, and I get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, he says, when I'm down here in my weakest moments, he says, here's what I've discovered. It is in those moments I feel the greatest surge of this supernatural divine energy, either intellectually, either emotionally, morally, spiritually, physically. He says, in that weakest moment of my life, that's when I get the biggest surge of the power of God working in my life. So he says, here's what I've discovered. I've discovered instead of despising weakness and feeling out of control and helpless, which none of us like. None of us like to feel out of control. No one wants to feel helpless. Nobody likes weakness. I don't like that any more than anybody else. No one likes that. But you see, here's what Paul discovered. He said, here's what I've discovered. If I am willing to experience great weakness, then I can experience great strength. Watch this. Watch this. You listening? Say amen. Amen. Listen to this. To the degree I am willing to be weak, to the same degree I am willing to experience strength. Which says I have to deal with a pride problem. Because you see, no one likes to admit, I'm weak, I'm frail. You see, today's world says, be strong, be beautiful, be handsome, be rich, be all of these things. You know what God says? Be poor in spirit, full of weakness, humility. And the world hates that. They can't stand that. They despise weakness. You know what God says? He says, I love it. Now, I don't like it very well, to be honest. And probably you don't either, if you're honest. None of us like to feel weak, out of control, and helpless. But when you and I learn that it is in those weakest moments when we cannot, we're out of control, we can't do anything about it, that's when God is freed to do His greatest work in empowering and strengthening us. That's when we become the most equipped, the most enabled to suffer, to experience, to endure, no matter what the trial may be, we can walk through it. Not with a sad face, not having a pity party, not complaining and moaning and groaning, though sometimes we're tempted to do that. But he says, no matter what's going on, there is a power and strength available to the children of God. And so Paul said, on the one hand, be strong in the Lord. But he said, I want to remind you of something. Here's what I've learned. The prelude to great strength is great weakness. He says the introduction of your life into the greatest expressions of the power of God, it is always an introduction through the valley of weakness. If you run from weakness, then you will elude the power of God. If you try to run from the valley of weakness, what you're running from is a deep abiding experience with Almighty God. And so when you and I think about our circumstances and our situation, we say, well, I don't like weakness. In other words, I just want things to be right. I don't want conflict in my life. Why can't I live without conflict? Because you're a child of God. Friend, when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you joined the war. You became a soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the world speak well of you. He says there's something wrong. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be misunderstood, persecuted, criticized, rejected. So living a godly life is going to bring it on. So if you're one of those persons who can't stand rejection, can't stand criticism, can't stand conflict, you joined the wrong family when you got in the family of God. Because that's the way it is. It doesn't mean that you have to be crude, rude, and obnoxious. But simply if you and I live the believer's life and we are true to the Word of God and live by the Word of God, we are going to be criticized, we're going to be rejected, going to be gossiped about, going to be persecuted. People are not going to understand us. So what? The issue is this. Not how people treat us, but how we respond to their treatment. And as we said in the beginning, for some people they're destroyed by it, and some people they grow by it. And we make the choice. You see, you can't blame your circumstances on somebody else and say, well, if so-and-so had done this and so-and-so had done that, I'm responsible to God for my reactions to the circumstances and how the situations in life I may have to face. And Paul says, I want to tell you, it doesn't make any difference if you push to the limit and beyond the limit. He says it doesn't make any difference if you're despairing and you're absolutely hopeless and helplessly caught and trapped. He says there is a way to endure, to survive, not having pity parties and complaining and wanting somebody to feel sorry for you, triumphantly, victoriously, with a perfect abiding peace in your heart, and that is through relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your strength and totally your strength in that situation, no matter what. Now, if someone else had said that in the Scripture somewhere along the way that didn't make a big, strong impression on us, maybe we could say, well, you know, this, that, and the other about him. But you can't say that about the Apostle Paul, because here's a man who experienced it now. If you think about the character and the nature of this strength that he gives, listen, he says the strength that he gives to all of us, whatever we are facing, is unsurpassable. It is unsurpassable. One of our problems is somehow we can't believe that God would love us enough, or that he's interested enough in you as a student in your classroom, or you on your job, to be genuinely interested enough to focus his divine attention upon your circumstance and provide exactly what you need for that moment, this day, that day, the next week, the next month, the next year, and to keep you in that situation. We just think, well, God, why? And you see, this is the promise of God. My God shall supply what? All your need according to his riches in glory. Listen, one of the riches of the grace of God for you and me is the power and the strength to live, to face, to endure, to survive, and to do so victoriously and triumphantly. God doesn't want you and me failing in the Christian life. We all do at times. But he wants us to learn the truths, to know how to walk through difficulty. And as we said before, the only way we learn is to get thrown into it. Most people just want you to give them a book, give them a passage, preach a sermon, got it. No, you haven't. Because I've discovered in my own life many truths that I learned, I thought, well, I've got that one down. And then the Lord sends me a big test along the way, and I realize, no, I don't have it down. I thought I learned it. No, what I did is I heard it, and I understood it, and I believed it, but I didn't learn it. How do I learn it? By getting thrown in the fire. That's how you learn it. And you see, the people who avoid the fire and try to avoid the valley experiences, they don't want to feel weak. And I agree, it is in total opposition to everything human nature cries out for. Human nature within us cries out to be strong. Human nature cries out to be courageous. Human nature cries out to be fit, ready, capable, adequate to meet every situation in life. God says, you want to know how to do that? Tell you how. Get real weak. Be absolutely, totally helpless, dependent upon me. That's the way you experience the greatest strength. Now, he called it unsurpassable power. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. When Paul was writing there in his prayer for the Ephesian Christians, here's what he prayed for them. Ephesians chapter 1, he says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he says, here's another part of my prayer for you. He says, I want you to experience and to know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us. You know what he's saying? He says the power that Almighty God, the strength that he makes available for his children is unsurpassable. You know what that says? That Satan cannot throw anything in your path with all of his satanic power to match. Listen to this. Satan cannot throw anything in your path with all of his satanic power to match the supernatural divine power available to the believer in the person of Jesus Christ. Satan's power can't even begin to match it. This is unsurpassing power. And secondly, it is available to every single believer. This isn't just available to super Christians, if there is such a thing. We're all frail, weak children of God. That's why he calls us children. He doesn't say, my adults. He says, my children. We're children learning, walking, stumbling, falling, picking up and keeping on going, growing in the Christian life. Some fall by the wayside. Some check out. Some say, I can't handle it. I'm getting out. But he says, I want you to learn. There is an inexhaustible, unsurpassable, available, adequate source of strength that matches every single solitary challenge in life, no matter what it is. Does that mean there'll be no tears? No, it doesn't mean that. Does that mean there'll be no hurt, no sorrow, no heartache? No. No discouragement? Doesn't mean that at all. But it means through the tears, through the heartache, through the suffering, through the trial, through the tribulation, through the hurt, through the rejection, through all of these things, through the criticism, through all of that, you will be sustained and be able to endure no matter what. That is the grace of God. That is the love of God. That is the goodness of God. And it is available, unsurpassable, adequate, efficient, available strength and power of God, which is a gift of God. It isn't something I have to beg and plead for. It isn't something I have to work up for. He says, that is the gift of God. When you receive Jesus, you got it. And it comes in a very simple way. It comes through the introduction. It comes through the confession, the acknowledgement. And this is where I think we have to ask ourselves the question, do I know how to have this power and strength released in my life when I'm facing this? And the answer is yes, and it's very simple. He didn't make it complex because he wanted us all to understand it and all to be able to experience it in our life. And here's what he says. And you've caught it already. How do I get this strength and power released in my life? Acknowledging that I'm absolutely, totally helpless. God, if you don't do it, it won't work. You have to do it, Lord. I can't do it. The confession and acknowledgement of weakness and helplessness, and we don't like to do that. When's the last time you ever said to a friend, I feel so weak and so helpless and so absolutely totally out of control, there's not a thing in the world I can do in my situation, not one thing. Have you been willing to humble yourself and acknowledge that to someone? Or do you want to keep up the appearance? I can handle it. I've got it under control. That is arrogance and pride, and there is no blessing that comes through that. Paul said, I'm weak. He said, when I came to you to preach, I came to you to preach in weakness and fear and trembling. Have you been willing to say to someone, I feel so weak and so inadequate? You see, listen to me carefully now. You can tell God that in private, but act strong in public, and I don't think it works. I think you have to say to someone, there is a requirement of a humbling of ourselves to say, I am inadequate. I am weak. And God, I can't. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't walk out here a single Sunday feeling like I have it under control, or you wouldn't see me coming through those doors. And I'll tell you why. Because I feel like the old Apostle Paul. Every time I walk out of here, it's fear, weakness, and trembling. Because I'm sure back yonder somewhere in my life, I walked out, thought I had under control, and the Lord slapped me flat on my face. And I am grateful to God. Listen, for the growing child of God, weakness is invited. We understand the power of weakness. We understand the power of humility. I don't mean some fake humbleness. I'm talking about genuinely relying upon Him. The acknowledgement of our weakness. And just saying to Him, God, I'm relying upon You. I cannot. If You don't do it, it's not going to happen. And thirdly, simply believing that He'll do what He said. He says, my God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory. When? When I need it. How long? Ever how long I need it. How much? Ever how much I need. Anything that God does less than that, or off timing, or out of step with my needs, that's not God. He is the all-sufficient, adequate, living Christ, living on the inside of us, equipping us and enabling us to go beyond what the human capacity has to do with victory, peace, joy, confidence, and assurance in our heart, not in ourselves, but in Him. Now listen to what Paul said, and he made it very clear. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what he said. Verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Listen, he says, listen, this is what God did. He brought us to the point that we knew that death was imminent in order, watch this, in order that We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So what is he saying? He says, you want to know why God brings us to the point of weakness? You want to know why God brings us to the point of absolute helplessness? This is the reason. Because he wants to bring us to the point that we have to absolutely, totally rely upon him. And my friend, there is no greater expression of trust in God than to say, Father, I absolutely cannot. If you don't, it's not going to happen. And what does that do? It acknowledges our weaknesses and our inadequacies. We throw ourselves helplessly upon God, and we trust him to do and to be what he says he'll do and what he says he'll be. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. You have two ways to respond. You can respond by having a pity party. You can respond by bitterness, hostility, anger, resentment. You can respond by an unforgiving spirit. You can respond by getting cynical, check out, walk away, walk out, whatever you have to do. That's one way. But here's what you'll lose. You'll lose the awesome, indescribable experience of growing in your Christian life by leaps and bounds through the most difficult, trying times of life. Or you can respond by confessing and acknowledging your weakness, throwing yourself at the mercy of God, the goodness and love of God, and trusting him, and here's what will happen. You'll become richer in your understanding of the ways of God, and there's no wealth in the world to match that. Richer in your understanding of the ways of God. Listen, you'll become stronger in your faith in the power of God. Stronger in your faith in the power of God, that his power is absolutely sufficient. And you know what else will happen? You'll be overwhelmed in your heart at the way God expresses his love towards you. Covers you with love, surrounds you with love, undergirds you with love. This loving God who walks with you and who envelops you in love through the most difficult, trying, hurtful circumstances of life, he is this adequate, loving Lord Jesus who walks by our side as well as lives on the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I've tried it both ways, and the first way doesn't work. You can't do it in your own strength and survive. And there's a better way. If you want to become richer in the understanding of the ways of God, if you want to become stronger in your faith in the power of God, and if you want to become overwhelmed in experiencing the love of God, the way to do it is to acknowledge your weakness and helplessness, throw yourself upon God, rest in him, and trust him to be in you and through you everything you need at this moment in your life. And my friend, no matter what your circumstance, this I can absolutely assure you of. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is your Savior, if you have trusted him as your personal Savior, who dwells on the inside of you, will release all the power and the strength necessary to enable you to face what you're facing victoriously, triumphantly, with great joy through it all. I want to say again, does that mean no tears? No, it doesn't mean that. No discouragement? Doesn't mean that. No hurt, no suffering, no heartache? No. But in the midst of it all, doing what? Soaring above it all and being sustained by the love of God. Now, my friend, many of you are hurting and you're hurting deeply. And you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're wondering why life treats you the way it treats you. I can tell you why. You either have to go it alone in life, in many circumstances and situations, and friends can't help you in some things. Or, listen, you can join hearts with Christ. And my friend, when you're enveloped by him, indwelt by him, wrapped up in a loving relationship with him, there is no way to fail. And that is the offer to those who want to trust him as their personal Savior. Father, we thank you for loving us so gently, so kindly, with great forgiveness, with deep understanding, with patience beyond our understanding. as you walk with us as your children through the stumbling, fumbling experiences of life, sometimes deep in the valley, sometimes up the mountain, sometimes on the peak. And as Paul said, sometimes with confusion, frustration, sometimes in moments of despair, feeling the crushing pressure of our circumstances, to the point that the sentence of death would be delightful, beyond our limitations. And yet you're so willing to provide everything we need. We love you and praise you and thank you for being that kind of a loving Father, so ready, so willing to enable us. In Jesus' name, amen.